You're listening to a message from Every Nation GTA. For more information, please visit our website at everynationgta.org.
Well, today we're finishing out our very, very long, wonderful series on prayer, Teach Us to Pray. And I knew I'd be doing the last one of the series, and I had a few different ideas. And often when we lay out a sermon series, we, like, from the beginning, know the direction we're going to go, and we have our 8 or 10 weeks all laid out in the titles. And the last few, for in the month of August, we've kind of said, well, let's just see what, you know, what's ringing true in each of our hearts as we, you know, as we prepare and what we're supposed to talk about. And probably the last 4 or 5 weeks, I felt like to cap off our series on prayer, I was to look at gratitude. About a lot of you know, I grew up in the area and I still have a lot of extended family here. Lots of cousins. And once a year, my cousins, the girls, we get together and we have lunch. We actually spend a whole day together. And in June, this was my year to host. And so we had 12 women sitting around my dining room table, and my sister leaned over to me and she goes, "You should pray for the food," because of course the pastor, the pastor's wife, they're always the one who are supposed to pray for the food. And in that moment, I had just a thought, and I said to my cousins, I said, "Okay, ladies, we're going to do something a little different today, and let's just go around the table, and let's everybody express something that they're grateful for." Now you have to know that 2 weeks before, I was with all these same cousins because we had buried one of our cousins who died way too young, who had suffered with illness for all her adult life. And so there we were, the 12 of us going around the table. And it was the sweetest time expressing gratitude. Delightful. Tears, laughter. Oh, not everything was about the cousin that we lost. Some were great memories we had of her, but some were pictures of new grandchildren and watching our own kids grow and flourish. And there was something sweet and beautiful and right about that time of just expressing gratitude in all of life's circumstances. And so as we're coming into this last day, I want to look at Mary. And I know it's not Christmas, but we're going to read some Christmas. We're going to read a Christmas story today. But I want to look at Mary because in the big picture of gratitude and how to be grateful in all circumstances, I'm not sure that there's anyone else we can gather more, clarity, direction, inspiration from than Mary and the words that she spoke. So we're going to look at Mary, the mother of Jesus, her response of worship, thanksgiving, gratitude to God as his plan was beginning to unfold in her life. You know, whether in the book of Psalms, whether the life and the words of Jesus, whether the writings of Paul, the theme of gratitude is woven throughout our whole Bible. And gratitude with words of thanks to God. Colossians chapter 2 in the New American Standard, I like this one. "Therefore, as you have received Christ the Lord, so walk in him, having been firmly rooted, now being built up in him and established in your faith, just as you were instructed, overflowing with gratitude." As you've received Christ, so walk in him. And part of that walking in him is that our lives be overflowing with gratitude. So let's look at Mary. A young woman, teenager, early teens. And let's, before we look at her prayer and her worship to God, let's look at the setting. Let's think about this. Let's put ourselves back in time. Let's put ourselves in her shoes. So here we have a young woman. Here's the setting. And an angel shows up. Now, this is not a regular occurrence, and maybe she heard of it in history, and usually they showed up to men and not to women. When they did over the centuries, an angel showed up. And his greeting to her was unusual. He said, "Greetings, O favored one of the Lord." And she was troubled. In fact, she was afraid. She was troubled. Who wouldn't be? An angel's in your room and he's speaking words to you, "Favored one of the Lord." And what does that mean? And she's actually afraid because the angel says, "Don't be afraid." And who wouldn't be? And he begins to bring to her God's plan for her. He says, "You're going to conceive, you're going to bear a son, you're going to call his name Jesus. He's going to be great. He's going to be the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever. Of his kingdom, there will be no end." We look back through the eyes of history and we know what this means. But that young virgin girl, she probably had no idea that she would conceive and bear a son. And she had some questions. A good one, a very good question. She said, "How will this be since I'm still a virgin?" The answer was unusual. "The Holy Spirit's going to come upon you. The power of the Most High is going to overshadow you. The child's going to be holy, the Son of God." And then the angel throws in this, "Oh, and by the way, your cousin, your relative Elizabeth, who was barren all her life, she's an old lady, she's pregnant. She's having a son. For nothing is impossible with God." And Mary responds. She says, "I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be done to me according to your will." The angel left. Mary, I think the King James said she made haste. I like the word haste, and I don't know what it means to make haste. But she got up and she went to see her cousin Elizabeth. And just if you're like a Google trivia person, it was actually about 200 kilometers, they figure, from where Mary was to where her cousin was. And that's almost 5 marathons. So that's our setting. And Mary sees Elizabeth, and Elizabeth says the baby within her leapt. And Elizabeth says, "Who am I that the mother of my Lord would be here?" And in response to all of this, to that miraculous visitation, to those words that were really hard to understand, to the questions, to the troubling in her soul, to things that were unanswered, to that moment of saying, "Okay, I'm your servant, Lord. Let it be done to me according to your will." We come to Mary's response, and it's what we're going to look at and focus on today. So from the book of Luke, it says, "And Mary said, 'My soul magnifies the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God, my Savior, for he has looked on the humble state of his servant. For behold, from now on, all generations will call me blessed. For he who has done great things for me, for he who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name. And his mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength in his arm. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the mighty from their thrones and exalted those of humble estate. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham and his offspring forever.'" She questioned, she accepted, and finally, with faith-filled, joyful, wholehearted surrender, what came forth from Mary were words of worship, praise, and gratitude. So we're going to break that down a little bit. Gratitude. In Mary's words of worship, gratitude, a place to build on. Mary reflected on the past. She used things like "he has," the great things that God has done. Mary's gratitude came out in strength for the future, for what the present holds for me, for who Jesus is to me at that time, who God and his Spirit was to her that day. And gratitude, hope for tomorrow, for our future, for the things that he will do. And we're going to look at that, a foundation to build on. Strength for tomorrow. Strength for today, hope for tomorrow. Gratitude, a foundation to build on. You know, Gabriel's words to Mary assumed that she knew something of her nation's history. Because when he spoke to her, and I'll read a little bit of this, but when he spoke to her about David and about the house of Jacob and about Israel, there was an assumption there that she knew what he was talking about. She knew of her God and the hand of God in the history of their land. Let's look at these words. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom, there will be no end. He also said this, he has helped Mary's response. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy. You know, Mary, assuming she knew her history, would have known a few things. One is the angel said to her, you'll conceive in your womb. Now, Mary, in the history of the nation of Israel, would have known the stories of women like Sarah and Rebecca and Rachel and Hannah, women whose wombs were closed. The language that the Bible uses is that God is the one who closes a woman's womb and God is the one who opens it. And Mary would have known their stories, that Sarah, barren until she was 90 years old, gave birth to Abraham, son of the promise, Isaac, that from Isaac came forth Jacob, the child of Rebecca. Rebecca was barren, and Rebecca's husband, Isaac, prayed and asked the Lord to open the womb of his wife. And Jacob came forth. Jacob was renamed later Israel. He became the father of her very nation. From him, the 12 tribes came forth, one of whom was Joseph. Joseph was Jacob. One of his wives was Rachel, and she was barren. God opened her womb, and her firstborn was Joseph. And through Joseph came the preservation and the salvation of their whole nation. And then there was Hannah, many generations later, who begged God to open her womb and give her a son. And Samuel was born, who was probably one of the greatest prophets we see in the Old Testament, who set in King David. These barren women, whose stories Mary would have known, gave birth to some pretty amazing sons. Significant in God's plan, shaped the history of their nation. So who would Mary's child be? Mary said, I know God's helped his servant Israel, our nation, in remembrance of his own mercy, that the promise was to Abraham and to his offspring. She knew what God had done and where he had gone before, and she had that foundation to build her life on. And though she had no idea what her future would hold and who her child would be, she had that confidence in the one upon whom she had placed her faith. The other little thing she knew was, you know, when she talks about Abraham, here's what later the Hebrews writer wrote about Abraham. Abraham obeyed God when he was called to go out to a place that he was to receive as an inheritance. And he went out, not knowing where he was going. I think King James says something about not knowing whitherest he goes, not knowing where he was going. The God that she would have known, the stories of the God that she knew, was a God who calls people to places where we don't know. We don't know what the future holds. I heard something this week, a line that I think will stick with me. I wrote it down so that it would. The evidence can't be there before you make a decision. If you're stepping out in faith and courage, if you knew everything that the future would hold, no faith, no courage, no belief would need to be there. God called, Mary would have known that throughout her history, God would call people to go to a place where maybe they didn't know what the future held. So here she is, this young woman, knowing her history, knowing the history of our nation, and knowing the greatness of her God, showing his mercy to the nation. Bert and I were moving some furniture last night. Yeah, where's she going with this? Yeah, Bert and I were moving some furniture last night, and neither of our boys were around, and so needless to say, Bert is a fair amount stronger than me, and he just needs me to kind of help balance some things. And when I was driving here this morning, I was thinking about that. You know, sometimes there's burdens in our life. And Jesus never said he was going to take them away. But he said, come be yoked with me. I'm going to take the heavier end of this. And you know, when Bert and I lift things that are heavy, believe it or not, he takes the bulk of the weight. And he says, if you can just help me balance it. And I think that's the journey of life when Jesus calls us to trust in him for some things. Okay, for everything. He says, all the burdens aren't going to go away. I'm going to call you into some things that you don't know. But I'm actually carrying the heavier end. And you're just balancing the portion that's yours. I write lots of things in my phone. We went through kind of a difficult season. Sometimes I feel like it was about 7 years. I don't know if it was that long. Sometimes when life's difficult, it seems like it's 25 years of your life. But when I felt like we were actually coming out of a difficult season, I wanted to remember some things of the goodness of what God was doing in my life. And so I started at the beginning of 2017 writing in my phone. Every time I had a little story about something where I really was reminded of the goodness of God. I called it my burdens list. Not very creative. I'm not a great creative writer. But I knew this, study after study shows if you write things down, you're far more likely to remember them. You know, we're talking about gratitude. And in my burdens list, I should rename it because I can, because it's digital. I wrote down that throughout that year, I wrote down things where I really saw maybe the whole answer to something wasn't there, but I could see the hand of God. And you know, when we see the hand of God, like Mary was able to look back through history, when we look back through the history that we see the promises and the lives of God, but when we also look at our own lives and look at the faithfulness of God in our life, it builds in us that platform. It builds in us that thing that we can build our life upon, but we have to remember and we have to express that gratitude. And I don't want to forget those moments that God moves in my life, and I write them down. Gratitude, a foundation to build on that carries us into the future. Gratitude, we need gratitude, strength for today. That sense of his presence, that he is and what he is doing right now. Mary's language was interesting because it was present tense language. She said, my soul, the inside part of me right now, today, this day, as she's with her cousin Elizabeth, she says, my soul magnifies the Lord. Inside of me, there's something that's making God big. It's magnifying him. It is, God doesn't need us to make him big, but we sure can express his bigness in our words of worship, praise, gratitude, the kindness that comes out of our mouth. My soul magnifies the Lord. My spirit, that inside part of me, rejoices, takes great joy and pleasure in God, my Savior, because he's looked upon me, and I'm a humble servant. He's looked upon my humble estate. And she has a sense of the future. She's talking today, right now, this day. I do not know what the future holds, but my soul, the inside part of me, is going to magnify the Lord. It's going to rejoice in my Savior. And she has an inkling. Oh, she doesn't know what this is going to look like. but from now on, generations will call me blessed. What did Mary face? In days ahead, there was going to be no hiding the fact that she was pregnant. And not only that, but she was pregnant and she wasn't married. And there was going to be scorn and there was going to be shame. And she lived in a small town. And if you've ever lived in a small town, everybody knows everybody else's business. And a lot of people have trouble forgetting the dark side. And so she was going to, in the days ahead, live under the shadow of a pregnancy. And who was going to believe her that Joseph wasn't involved, that God had overshadowed her? What did she face? I bet at this point she kind of maybe thought about it. And yet the day, and in that moment, and understanding courageously the God that she served, she said, "I'm going to magnify God. I've already said, I'm your servant, be it done unto me according to your will." What did she face? There'd be no hiding. She was unmarried. What would her family say? What would the neighbors say? And yet she set her heart, her soul, her spirit firmly on who God was and who God promised to be for her. Gratitude. It gives us strength for today. It gives us strength to face the things this day. As we've gone through this prayer series, we've been trying to make some things really practical and trying some things that maybe we hadn't done before. And I've been really working personally on gratitude because I know my own tendency is to forget. Something great will happen, something in a day that I'll really enjoy or appreciate. And then a little trouble comes, and all that good seems to be lost. And I don't want to be that person. I want to be the woman whose soul daily magnifies God, looks upon what he does, and it just seems big and great. And she has that confidence in him. So I'm working on this gratitude thing, and I have an app on my phone. We talked a couple of times about the daily examine, and I have this app on my phone, and I don't use it all the time because it's not my habit, but I open up the app. You're supposed to do it at the end of the day, but I usually forget. So sometimes I do it partway through the day, and I open it up, and point two is about things that I'm grateful for, and I often don't get beyond point two because I want to look in the course of my day and say, I'm grateful. Oh, and it might be the little things. It might be the birds feeding in my backyard, and it might be that I drove into the city and there was no traffic on the 401, but I want to be thankful for the little things in life because it sure is easy to be critical about the little things in life. And I don't want to be like that. So I'm trying and I'm working on my own heart. Bert and I were in Vancouver Island, the end of July. Bert's mom is 92 and still living on her own, starting to have some challenges. And we were there with family, and there are some decisions that are going to have to be made with mom and her care. But we decided on that trip that when we crawled in bed at night, anyone who's had an aging parent, there are weighty decisions. But we decided when we crawled in bed at night, we'd look at one another and go, okay, what are you grateful for today? What happened in this day? And it might have been a really good ice cream cone at Whiskey Creek. Or it might have been a wonderful conversation with a niece or nephew. Or it might have been hearing about somebody in the family's encounter with God. What am I grateful for? Gratitude is going to carry me through the day. And then gratitude is my hope for the future. Gratitude, hope. For tomorrow, for the future, for the promise of who he is and who he will be now and always. Mary said a couple of things in her words of worship and praise. She said this from, "Behold, from now on all generations will call me blessed, for he who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name." She said, "And his deep, deep, deep grace and goodness to us. His grace, his blessing, his forgiveness of us, his covering of us, undeserved. His mercy is to those who fear him from generation to generation. As he was, as he is today, and as he will be, we can have that confidence as Mary did. She did not know the road that was to lie ahead for her. Joy and delight in the birth of a child, a new life, and what a life that would be, beyond anything she could have anticipated or imagined. Amazement as he grew up, as he spoke with wisdom beyond his years, as he encountered adults and could talk about deep things of God. As he grew into a man, and people said of him, "There's nobody who's ever spoken like this man speaks." And he healed some, and he brought deliverance, and he even raised the dead. And this was her baby, her little boy, grown into the man. And maybe some of those words that had been spoken to her many, a few decades before were starting to come clear to her. Some of his words probably puzzled her. She comes to see him and she wants to see her son. And her son says to the people listening to him, "Who's my mother?" "Hello, I am. I gave birth to you." Mary probably never would have anticipated how much the religious leaders were going to hate her boy, how they were going to plot and plan to kill him. His life was threatened. And then one day she was going to watch him die a criminal's death. She never could have anticipated that. And yet in that moment, at that time, when the future was unknown, when even tomorrow and she had to go home and her family would see that she was pregnant, and even the days and years that lay ahead of her that are impossible to predict, we do not know what life holds for us. And yet Mary's response of praise, worship, gratitude to the Lord for who he had been, for who he was that day to her, and for who she could be assured he would be in the future. Those words are there for us. Words of worship, gratitude, reminders of the steadfast love of God, steadfast, immovable, something that we can ground ourselves in, that no matter what waves and winds and heartbreak and blessing comes our way, we're rooted and we're firmly planted. You know, as I close, the very interesting thing was I went to bed last night with zero idea how I was going to end this message today, but we had heard a couple hours before that our friend Evelyn had gone to be with Jesus. And I thought, well, Lord, you're just going to have to, I got to go to bed. And so I'm just going to trust you. So I wake up this morning and I have a few ideas and I write them down. And I sit at my computer, and Bert and I actually came in two different vehicles today, so I had some time just to myself, and I'm sitting at my computer, and I write some things down, and I hit print, and I gather everything up, and I get in the car, and I get to Toronto, and the page with my ending on it isn't here. Mysteriously, page 5 has disappeared. And I thought, well, okay, Lord, where are we going from here? Because to be honest, I don't remember what I wrote down. However, I want to just summarize the journey we've been on this summer. The the understanding of the Father we have, who we can come to in worship, bringing our requests, the different ways we've talked about. We've looked at how great men and women in the Bible brought their prayer and praise and worship and lament and pain brought them to God. And we've built upon that. For those of you who have been here, for those of you who haven't, go on to the website and listen to some of the messages. And we've talked about prayer, and we thought, let's this year maybe just grow a little bit in what our life of prayer looks like as individuals. And no better way to end than with gratitude. Because He is the one who answers, who provides, who has oversight, who looks over us, who cares for us, in whose arms we are, and in whose arms one day we will go to be. And my prayer, as we end this time looking at prayer, is that our hearts would be hearts of gratitude. I do have a quote. From a 17th century English poet named George Herbert. And he said this, "Thou hast given so much to me. Give me one more thing, a grateful heart." Let's pray. Father Jesus, your disciples came to you and they said, "Please teach us to pray." And we've been asking all summer, even as we've delved into the great prayers of the Bible, and we've been saying in our hearts, teach us to pray. And Father, we do ask finally in one thing, when everything else is done, when all the things we ask for in our worship and our prayer and our praise, give us this, we pray, a grateful heart. Amen.
You've been listening to a message from Every Nation GTA. Thanks for joining us. For more information, visit our website at everynationgta.org.